Prime time for our Rub of the Mind podcast with Richard Zocal, Hutchinson. And Dick, when we're talking about what's going on in the mind, when we're talking, you know, can we get any more cerebral than we could with the guy who won the Houston Open on Sunday?
Well, we do like to look at these models of success and models of failures in order to learn. And what we've witnessed in using Ian Poulter as a model of tremendous success, I might add, Hutch, you know, all we need to do is look at where Poulter was a year ago. And keep in mind, let's push aside the fact that he's a divisive guy. Some people really like Ian, and some people don't. That really makes no matter.
Right.
But what we do have to admire is how well he performed over this past year. So a year ago, he was looking at, you know, he's 41 years old a year ago, 42 now,
yeah.
Getting a little long in the tooth. He had a major medical exemption that allowed him to, you know, get back after recovering from some issues. And he thought he was gone. He had a certain amount of PGA Tour events to perform. He didn't hit that mark. And because of some miscalculations on the PGA Tour side, they miscalculated. It gave him another reprieve. It gave him another chance. And he actually got his card back.
Right.
So, you know, and what we're looking at in the mind is how you react to situations. So when he lost his job, he responded and got his focus and got his performance back. Got back to a point where a week ago he was at the qualified for the World Golf Championship, which is a tremendous success in itself.
Absolutely.
He got to a point where he finished 51st, and he thought he was in the Masters, didn't get in it, very disappointed, and then he got inspired to win the Houston Open this past week. It's a tremendous story.
Well, a bit of a stumbling block there for him, too, because even at the World Golf Championship, somebody told him, I don't know who it was, but they told him that he'd made it into the Masters through the top 50 in the world rankings, which wasn't the case. And he didn't know going into Houston. He wasn't even going to go to Houston, actually, because he wasn't sure whether he was going to get into the Masters or not.
Yes, and instead of kind of looking at it from a, like some people do, like from a victim mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
He used that situation to pull his presence of mind and get focused to the job at hand. And the job at hand after the Dell Match Play tournament was this one tournament called the Houston Open. And, you know, he opens up with a 73, and he thought he was going to miss the cut. And then he goes crazy in the second round and the third round and the fourth round. When in watching his ability to execute shots, he, you know, going into the final round when he was tied for the lead, he opened up with a bunch of birdies. He extended his lead in the tournament, and then he was really a master of being able to assess and execute shots to stay present. He had this discipline to play really well. Then there was a situation where Bo Hostler got hot on the back nine, made four straight birdies, in fact, making a 20-foot putt to force a playoff.
Right.
And what we watched in Ian Poulter's mind was he didn't vary. He stayed steadfast with his presence of mind, his focus and ability, and then he allowed Bo Hostler to make a mistake in the first sudden death hole, and he persevered, and it's just a tremendous job in being able to, climb from the doldrums of golf into back now where we're talking about him being a possible threat at winning this year's major.
Well, as I mentioned to you, I definitely think he's a long shot at the very worst. I think he'll be up there. I think he's a realistic pick for somebody who, you know, I wouldn't make him my favorite pick, but he'd definitely be one. I wouldn't count him out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that what it does is his ability, his mindset to be able to perform and get inspired in these situations. It wouldn't be unreasonable to think that if he got into contention this week at Augusta,
yeah,
that he would be able to carry his momentum through, keep his focus going, and be a threat, because you can absolutely believe that he's believing he can do it. If he can come back from so far back over a year ago to where he is now. There's no reason why he cannot, in his mind, believe he can win. I mean, it's, you know, that's what inspired Jack Nicklaus in 86. People doubted him. Right. He got inspired. And you know, we got the same thing with the inspiration of Phil Mickelson. He's looking to become the oldest major champion, major champion this week. So you when it comes to mindset and beliefs, you know, you never know what can happen.
Well, you mentioned the victim mentality that many of us get. And it's not only in golf. It's, I think we get that in our places of employment. I think we get it at home. We almost use that as an excuse, don't we? It's a convenient excuse.
Oh, it's totally. And I think, you know, what, you know, when we talk about this presence of mind in mind-linked golf, you know, we need to understand that you have to be in the present moment. And there's a saying that Eckhart Tolle created, you know, the past is gone forever and the future never comes. All you have and all you've ever had are your now moments, and that's who's made you who you are today.
Right.
So how well you handle these now moments, you know, and as it comes to golf, it's this shot, one shot at a time, and it's being able to assess that shot and then execute that shot, and then what we do at Mindly, we capture that data, and we create a platform that's able to focus on this, and you can see your patterns. And then once we're able to shift our mind off the result, and that's when you're able to get this presence of mind, and that's when it becomes so empowering.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I noticed about Ian Poulter, I mean, we saw it yesterday in Houston, what he could pull off when he puts his mind to it. I think the one that stands out in my mind is back at the 2012 Ryder Cup. Medina, when he was just a spark plug for the European Ryder Cup team.
Yes, and you know what's so fantastic about Ian Poulter, when we isolate him, like, keep in mind, I believe that the pressure in the Ryder Cup is more significant than any of the majors, because you have not only the world watching you, you have expectations of teammates that you don't want to let down, and also your kind of your side, you know, on the, if you're playing for America, United States, you're playing for your country, and so that pressure is at the highest level, and so he's proven himself, and he knows that he's done it. And that he can handle this situation. He's able to access that presence of mind in those pressure situations. Just like yesterday at Houston, when he had to make that putt on the last hole, you know, he was able to stay present. And when it would have been very easy for him to just go, "Yeah, well, no, I can't let this happen," or fail in that situation. He kept present. He made a great assessment, execution, and nailed that putt. Got into the playoff, and inevitably toppled Bo Hostler.
Kind of makes it interesting too. I mean, obviously he's driving up Magnolia Line. If not now, you know, sometime today. How has his attitude changed? I mean, he must have an incredibly different attitude than he had just 24 hours ago.
Totally, and he's not only, you know, he's got it from 24 hours ago, a week ago, and a year ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's riding this momentum, and that's where, you know, your belief, you get this tremendous gratification that what you're doing is correct, and then you get this verification that what you're doing causes this success.
Right.
So there's no reason why it should stop. So this momentum carries him, and you know, he has this belief that he can do this, and he's got the model in which that allows it to make it work. And you know, and he's heading back to Orlando. He's got a day off back to Orlando, and he's flying into Augusta tomorrow and Tuesday.
Okay.
And so he's got a day of recuperation, which is very smart. It would be very easy for him to keep his excitement level and get to Augusta and keep that fuel burn rate too high and burn himself out. So he's a very sharp customer.
Yeah. That brings up kind of an interesting point from a player's perspective. For a guy who's 42 years old, not that it's over the hill or anything, but how do you balance that? How do you, you know, keep the mind together, keep the body together? You know, is it easy to... you know, take the day off? Or how difficult is that to take the day off, especially with something like the Masters coming up?
Well, it's showing that he has a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to have that proper mind-body, you know, blend. So
right.
Your mind, as you gain older, I think it's reasonable to think that you're with the more experience that you have,
right.
if channeled properly, you're going to be able to perform better mentally.
Right.
However, when we get a little older, and in perhaps even in the early 40s, some people's bodies start to break down.
Right.
Some people's don't. But if your body isn't the weak link, then your mind experience, if they're able to keep it in the proper presence, yeah. then you should be able to theoretically be better suited. And I think this example of Ian Poulter is that model unfolding. He's showing patience. He's showing focus. He's showing ability to stay present under the most severe pressure. And it's a delight to see. It's just such a terrific model of success.
Well, I think we're going to see both that, you know, positive examples like you just mentioned with Ian Poulter. Probably see a few collapses as well out there this week.
Well, there's one thing we know that will deliver come Sunday afternoon at the Masters this year is we're going to watch someone fulfill and break through and show a model of success, and there'll probably be a few people on the sidelines that made some mistakes, and they're going to be sitting on the side of the road, that's for sure.
Well, always a story to tell, and as I mentioned to you in the past, I think there's going to be more stories to tell this week just because of what's going on, you know, as far as all the storylines go. So it's going to be very interesting to see. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. Let's get ready to do quite a few of these Rub of the Mind podcasts.
I can't wait to watch this week, Hutch, and I can't wait to talk to you about it as well.
Sounds good, Zoke.
Thank you so much.
You bet.